Well, we're talking about hearing from God. And so the title of my message today is To Hear is to Obey. I find it very interesting that, you know, the Bible was written in different languages. The Old Testament is mostly in Hebrew and the New Testament is in Greek. And in both of those languages, the word to hear is actually the same as the word to obey. And it's only the context that tells us whether it's hearing or obeying. But the idea is that in both of those languages, obeying is not separated from hearing. They use the same word. And it's just unfortunate that in English we use two different words. When I was a child, if my mother told me to do something and I asked her why, the answer was because I said so. It's quite simple. And there was never any further argument or discussion, you know. If mum or dad said so, then that was the end of it. Well, you know, God is a much more important person than mum or dad, actually. And when he says something, we should do it because he said so. But I wanted to focus on our Christmas story and just see how this works out in the scriptures there. So we're going to turn first of all to Luke chapter 1. And in verse 5, beginning in verse 5, it tells us, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So here is Zechariah. He heard. He heard from God. He didn't actually believe, but he did hear from God, and actually he must have obeyed because Elizabeth became pregnant. And so apparently he did expect that what God had said would come true. But then also, if we read the kind of the end of the story of Zechariah, we find in verse 57 of Luke 1, it says, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, 'No, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Actually, God had been silent for 400 years. In fact, in the book of Amos, we read how God says there's going to be a famine of the word of God because the people of Israel had not obeyed. And so God was silent for 400 years, and then suddenly God begins to speak. And so we can forgive Zechariah a bit for not believing, because for 400 years no one heard from God. And here all of a sudden is the angel Gabriel announcing the impossible. However, Zechariah did hear, and eventually he did obey. Then also in Luke chapter 1 we read about Mary. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary heard, and she obeyed. She accepted what God was speaking to her. And despite the fact that it meant that she would be kind of considered an outcast because she was pregnant outside of marriage, she accepted what God was saying. But then we find in Matthew's gospel some other people who heard from God, and their response was not quite the same. In Matthew chapter 2, we read about the Magi who came from the east, and King Herod and the chief priests and leaders and their response. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. They heard. Herod heard. The priests and the scribes heard. And they even interpreted the information correctly, that the child was to be born in Bethlehem of Judah. But sadly, they had no intention of obeying. They had other reasons. Herod was threatened because he was actually king at the time, but he was only king because he'd paid for his kingship. He'd paid the Romans for the privilege of being king. And he was so easily threatened that he even put to death some of his own children because he thought that they might take away his throne. So Herod was, you know, he was a pretty nasty character. But he heard from God. Unfortunately, he had no intention of obeying. He used the information to try and destroy the child before it was born. Last week, Pastor Janine spoke about Joseph, and so we saw there that four times God appeared to Joseph in dreams, and Joseph obeyed willingly each time. And the third time was particularly important because Herod had decided to kill all the children in Bethlehem, and if Joseph hadn't obeyed immediately, Jesus would have died before he even had a chance to say a word. And so Joseph heard, and Joseph obeyed. Then we see the shepherds, again in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 2. It tells us, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So the shepherds heard. And again, the shepherds acted on what they heard. They went looking for the child and they told everybody about him. Then there are two other people who are mentioned, just briefly. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised at the temple, in Luke chapter 2, still verse 25, it says, "There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" So Simeon heard the news about Jesus and he also obeyed and accepted that he had now seen the Lord's salvation. This is really amazing because Jesus was just a baby and he hadn't said or done anything that marked him out as different. But Simeon heard and he obeyed what he had heard and brought that prophetic word to Mary, his mother. And then following right on from that, we have another person. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna also heard, and she obeyed. And then finally, we have a group of people that we kind of are so unexpected. It's almost, it is a surprise to us. In Matthew chapter 2, in verses 1 to 12, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' Then when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed." And we read that the chief priests said in Bethlehem. And then in verse 11 it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." This is amazing because these people came from the east. Some people think that they came from as far away as Mongolia. It took them 2 years from when they saw the star to when they arrived, obviously, because when Herod found out the time of the star's appearance, he decided to kill all the children up to 2 years of age in Bethlehem. And so it had taken them a couple of years from when they first saw the star to when they arrived in Bethlehem. And obviously also, Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger at this point. They're living in a house, and he's a child. So it was a while afterwards. But they heard, and even though it took them a very long time to get there, they obeyed. And I also find this really interesting, that they were people who we wouldn't call worshippers of God, but they were, the term that's used about them, the Magi, means that they were people who observed signs in the heavens. And so God gave them a sign they could understand. He kind of spoke to them in their language. He gave them a sign that they would be looking for. And when they saw it, they began their journey. So what all this tells us is, first of all, that God has no problem communicating. If we're not hearing from God, the problem's not with God. The problem is with us. All of these people heard from God. Most of them obeyed. Some of them didn't. But God still spoke to them all in a way that they could understand. So all these people heard from God first. God speaks to people who he knows will obey, but it's clear from Herod and the chief priests and leaders that he actually also speaks to people who won't obey. And he knows who will obey and who won't, but he doesn't differentiate. He speaks to everybody. So how then do we make sure we're the ones who are hearing? Because God is always speaking. Well, God speaks to us in prayer and through his word, the Bible. Okay, when we're reading the Bible, there is instruction there for us. And if we follow those instructions, we're obeying God speaking to us. But he also speaks to us in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul instructs the Thessalonians. Pray continually. It's a very short verse. And actually, I think it's quite funny that scholars do a lot of arguing about this and kind of talk about how you couldn't possibly pray continually, because that would mean you'd spend all day and all night talking. The trouble is, that's a wrong concept of prayer. Prayer is a conversation. It's not just talking. It's also listening. God is always talking. The question is, are we always listening? Ceaseless prayer is possible if we realize that prayer is also listening, and if we're paying attention. There's a person I met many, many years ago now. He came to speak in our church in Auckland, and his name is Dr. Roy Peacock. And he was an aeronautical engineer, and he designed, did engineering for spacecraft and, you know, all sorts of complicated things. And he was a world well-renowned expert in his field. And he shared the story that one time the Indian government had built this new hydroelectric facility that was supposed to provide power for a large portion of India's population. And they were going to have, you know, this great grand opening for it. But they decided to do a dry run first just to make sure everything was working properly. And they turned everything on and it didn't work. And so they were kind of embarrassed, and they called in Dr. Peacock to ask him what was wrong. And they provided him with all the blueprints of everything involved with this power station. And he said, that, you know, pages of blueprints. And so he realized this was an impossible task, and so he just asked God to reveal to him what the problem was. And he flicked through the pages, and he pointed to one little switch in one of the blueprints and said, "This switch is faulty." And they went and had a look. They found the switch. Sure enough, it was faulty. They replaced it, and everything worked. Well, you have to be really sure you're hearing from God to be able to do something like that, don't you? I was amazed at that, and I thought, you know, how often is God speaking, and he's just telling us something quite simple, but we don't realize it's God speaking, and so we kind of, we don't take it too seriously. But in that case, Dr. Peacock knew that if he was to solve this problem, then he had to hear from God, and he did. So, the key to living in the power of God is obedience. And the key to obedience is hearing from God. And that's what we've been talking about this month, hearing from God. God has no trouble communicating. He is speaking all the time, and he can speak to you whether you believe in him or not. Actually, he sometimes speaks to unbelievers who don't even know that God is speaking to them. So the key to hearing God is listening. Just have a listening heart. Listen for what God might be saying to you today. When you read your Bible, listen to what God might be saying to you through the Word. We have to listen with the intention of obeying. Now, God does speak to people who don't obey, but if we read the whole of the rest of the story, we find the ones who didn't obey in this story come to kind of sticky ends. Herod was murdered, and the chief priests and scribes lost their position because their temple was destroyed by the Romans. So the challenge today is to be listening to God. Listen with your heart. Start with small, maybe less important things. You know, God speaks about important things and unimportant things. He's not limited to just grand things. He can speak about very simple things. Start with small, apparently less important things. Get to know God's voice. In John chapter 10, verse 3, God says, "My sheep know my voice." So just get to know God's voice. You know, I have walked with the Lord now for around about 50 years. And in the beginning, God had to kind of shout because I was a bit deaf and dumb. And I don't know when God was speaking. But nowadays, mostly he just whispers. Because over 50 years of listening, I've got to know his voice. There was one particularly significant time, probably about 30 years ago now, somewhere around there. I was in church one Sunday night in Takapuna, where I was living then. And a young lady who was in her late teens, early 20s, came in and she sat all alone across the aisle from me. I knew her parents. I was of a similar age to her parents. And I got this very strong impression that I should move across the aisle and sit next to her. And I thought, well, she doesn't want somebody her parents' age sitting next to her. I mean, you know, she wants a young person. You know, where are the youth? And I was kind of looking around and I was thinking, well, you know, now the service has started and I'll look a bit strange if I move across the aisle. And, you know, you have all these excuses, actually. But this impression got stronger and stronger to the point where I thought, oh, forget it, okay. So I just up and moved across the aisle. And she didn't make any reaction and the service went on. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I feel a bit foolish, but it doesn't really matter. And right after the end of the service, she turned to me and she said, thank you for sitting next to me. She said, I've been in touch with some Mormon people who have been very kind and helpful to me, and I thought I'd give the church one last try, and if nobody spoke to me or recognized me, then I would never go back. And I was just horrified. I was mad at God, actually. I kind of said to him in my heart, how dare you trust me to do that? I mean, what if I hadn't moved? And it was like God said, well, you did though, didn't you? Sometimes it might not seem very important and it might seem a bit odd or we might feel a little bit embarrassed, but it could be extremely important. And so that's why we need to listen carefully, get to know God's voice. If it agrees with the scripture, then do it, even if it seems a bit odd. And if you start doing odd things that God is not telling you to do, he'll soon make it clear that, no, it wasn't him. Listen carefully to God. Get to know his voice. Obey what you hear. And you will see God's power and his blessing pouring into your life. Because blessing just arrives on the path of obedience. When we simply obey God, we just have blessings landing on us. And that's really exciting, actually. It's an amazing pathway to walk. So hearing from God is really not that hard because God is well able to communicate. He's an excellent communicator. He can speak in language you understand. He spoke to the Magi through the stars because that's where they were looking for signs. He spoke to the chief priests through the scriptures because that's where they were looking. He can speak to anyone and he can speak what you understand. And it may not mean anything to anybody else, but you will understand it. Another experience I had, I think I've shared this before, when I was on the faculty at the seminary in the Philippines, we had a night, we had a series of evening meetings, and there was an altar call for students who just wanted prayer from faculty for, I don't know, blessings or whatever. And this young man came forward. He was from Thailand. And I began to pray for him. And I saw a picture of a boat on a river. And I thought, I tried to make it somehow spiritual. I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't think of a meaning for it. I didn't, you know, it just didn't mean anything to me. But it was a very clear picture. So in the end, I said to him, look, I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but I saw you on a boat in a river. And he burst into tears. And I thought, okay, obviously it meant something to him. I don't know what it meant. But anyway, so no, I just prayed for him. And it wasn't until about 6 months later, when he was graduating and he shared in our chapel service, that he shared what that meant to him. He said on that night he had been struggling so much with his studies and how hard it was, because actually he was from Thailand, but he was studying at master's level in English, and he'd only learned English the year before. So he was really, really struggling. It was extremely hard for him, and he had just come to the stage where he'd said, God, I'm not even sure you called me. And that's where he was at when I prayed for him. And he said that God called him to the ministry when he was on a boat in a river. And when I told him about that picture, it spoke to him that God had actually called him. So, you know, sometimes what we hear might not mean anything to us, but it may mean something for somebody else. And so it's important to share those things. But the most important thing, of course, is to obey. When we hear from God, it doesn't matter if you think it's odd or if you think you're going to look silly, or it doesn't really matter. If you think it's from God, go ahead and do it. And if it's not, he'll make it plain. But if it is, you will be thoroughly blessed as a result. Lord, we thank you so much that you do speak, and that it's possible for us to hear that all of these people we've read about today and that we know so well from the Christmas story, they all heard from you. And some of them weren't even expecting to hear, but they heard anyway. Father, help us to be people whose hearts are listening and who are willing to obey. Lord, we know that blessing comes from obedience, but sometimes we have a struggle with the obedience. So help us, Lord. Help us to be people who listen with hearts that are willing to obey and to be blessed as a result. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name.